Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Our text for today is John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus, you see, in John chapter 3, is responding to Nicodemus' curiosity. As John 3 begins with the teacher of Israel, Nicodemus, coming to Jesus at night and asking, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." He comes to Jesus, he confesses this great statement, and yet he's embarrassed, so he's coming at night because he doesn't want anybody else to see him doing it, because he himself is considered the teacher of Israel. And so he comes to Jesus trying to find out if this Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah or not. Jesus, however, is the true teacher of all. And he teaches Nicodemus and us that one cannot comprehend the things of God apart from the Spirit's miraculous work of new birth through water and Spirit, as we know it, baptism. Human reason, darkened by sin, cannot accept the things of God. How can God grant spiritual rebirth through ordinary water used with His Word? Or how can the Messiah give us His very body and blood to eat and to drink in with and under the bread and wine? You see, apart from the Spirit's work, our reason is only left with how can and I feel, as statements of faith which never offer any truth at all. Yet through God-given faith, our sinful reason and feelings are brought into submission as our doing selves are remade into one who receives and responds in giving thanks. Jesus wastes no time with Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus finds this an odd statement and he responds, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb?" There's the flesh. That's the sinful nature apart from faith. And so Jesus answers, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." Nicodemus is now aware that the sinful nature must be removed. And the catechesis continues for us and for Nicodemus by pointing us back to God's divine deliverance of the children of Israel that we heard about in our Old Testament reading. The deliverance of the children of Israel, well, after they had grumbled, they were brought out of Egypt, you see, and they didn't like God's provision for them, so they complained. God's anger burned against them, and he sent these fiery serpents amongst their midst, and it would bite them, and they would die. But to keep them from dying, he ordered Moses to make a staff, and on the staff they placed a serpent, a bronze serpent. And all the children of Israel had to do was to look up in faith to the promise of God, and they would live. Jesus then clarifies what this meant as he explains, well, that the Bible is actually all about him to begin with. And so he shows them, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." The lifting up in the Old Testament foreshadows God's deliverance through faith in his promise to provide victory over the venomous bite of sin, which can only bring death. This victory is why God sent his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be lifted up for our salvation. For as John 3:15 says, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. You see, we all know too well, sin brings only death. Because of sin, we don't have a proper relationship with God or each other. Think of the children of Israel. They were not satisfied with God's provision, grumbling against God. God's judgment followed as the fiery serpents were sent to remind them, to remind Israel of their reliance on God to provide. Our sinful nature leads us to think that we have gotten all that we have on our own, and that we certainly deserve a whole lot more, and we want it all now. Which leads to poor stewardship of God's gifts, to increased debt in our life, which in turn, well, robs us of rest, because work becomes our God that we serve. We aren't willing to wait for the things that we want. We desire the feelings of true love and commitment that comes with marriage. In its place, we reject God's design for marriage and rush into and out of intimate relationships, which only further propagate the divorce culture and stress the insecurity in our people, in people's lives. Our minds are focused on the things below. Our priorities are all upside down as we make games of our God, desiring worship to be a game or entertainment because we want our relationship with God to be a game. This is probably why we have such tacky shirts out there as "Jesus is my homeboy," speaking about Almighty God in such a slang way. This makes the season of Lent all the more important to refocus our attention on the things above and not on the things below. Those, you see, the things below come so very natural to us. Sin, you see, is absolutely no game. In fact, it's deadly serious. Jesus must be lifted up for our salvation. As our Savior hangs on the cross, we see the love of God for us. And we love John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His," and I know I quote it the old way, "only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." When we think about it, I don't think we often remember that the giving of God's Son meant the dying of God's Son. It sounds so sweet to our ears. Even the culture seems to like the text, but they reject the cross. Verse 17, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him," through His death on the cross and His resurrection. This love of God is unfathomable as He gives us His only begotten Son. Here, our Heavenly Father shows us the very depth of His love for us. He spared nothing. St. Paul writes of this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." The love of God is unsurpassed, as seen in that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. The love of God, you see, is then passionate and personal as He willingly comes to us individually through word and sacrament, washing us by name individually in the waters of baptism, and there adopting us as His own children, feeding us at His altar, His very body and blood individually and under the bread and wine. Look to Him in faith and be saved, you and your household. For our salvation is found only in Jesus being lifted up, that we may have His light to remove our darkness. So John records, Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. Christians are called by the law to repent. As we remember our standing before God, we are, as we confess today, poor, miserable sinners, sinning against God in thought, word, and deed, and worse yet, sinning because of our very conception, sinful from the time of our conception. And so with repentant hearts that can only come from faith, we are pointed to Jesus, the light of the world, who alone removes the darkness of our sin from us. As John records in John 8, again, "I am the light of the world," Jesus says. "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Our life as Christians is one then of receiving, and through faith to reflect that perfect light of Christ throughout our lives in our God-given vocations, be they as pastor or parishioner, as parent and child, as employer and employee, as teacher and student. In whatever God has called us to do in love of God and love of neighbor, we are to reflect the love of Christ, the light of the world, to this dying and dead dark world that we live in. As Matthew 5 records, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory not to us, but to our Father who is in heaven." So let the light of Christ shine through you at home, loving and honoring our mother and father, loving and honoring our spouses, and loving and training up our children in the way of the Lord. Let your light shine as you change a diaper. Let your light shine as you prepare dinner or go to work or bring the ones you love with you to the services of God's house to hear His word and receive His gifts. For it is the word of eternal life that is to be proclaimed. Rejoice then, dear friends in Christ, because Christ, the light of the world, shines on the only path of our salvation. And by the grace of God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, we have then been given eyes to see and ears to hear. For God has perfectly provided all things needful in His Son lifted up for our salvation, and His gift of faith that keeps our eyes on Jesus, as we've been saying repeatedly throughout Lent in our gradual, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Let us be glad and rejoice. Or have you not heard? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Amen.
Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.